أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Now the 12th sermon still deals with Jamal, but in a very different way, of course. Sharif al-Razi puts the sermon in the context for us. He says that لَمَّا أَذَّثَرَهُ اللَّهُ بِأَصْحَابِ الْجَمَلِ, when Allah gave Amir al-Mu'mineen victory over the troops of Jamal, قَدْ قَالَ لَهُ بَعْضُ أَصْحَابِهِ وَدَتْهُ أَنَّ أَخِي فُلَانًا كَانَ شَاهِدَنَا لِيَرَى مَا نَصَرَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَلَىٰ عَدَائِكَ. Someone approached Amir al-Mu'mineen and told him that I would have liked very much that my brother, and he named his brother Na'akhi Fulanan, was present here today to see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you in terms of victory, what help Allah has extended to you over your enemies. So the context of this short statement of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is after the victory in the Battle of Jamal, and it is answer to a question or just reply to a statement which was made by some of his companions, that I hoped, I would have liked very much that my brother was present here to see your victory and the nasr and support that Allah extended to you. فَقَالَ لَهُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ, he said in reply, peace be on him, أَحَوَى أَخِيكَ مَعَنَا, is the heart of your brother with us? هَوَى, of course, هَوَى means desire, wish, will, goodwill. So here it means, is the heart, is the goodwill of your brother with us? Would have he liked to see this victory? فَقَالَ نَعَمْ, he said, yes, of course my brother likes you, would have liked victory for you, and he would have really enjoyed seeing this. قَالَ, then Amir al-Mu'mineen replied, and this is a very important theological issue that we have phrases of it in the Quran, in the Hadith, but very explicitly coming from Amir al-Mu'mineen, of course, is very important. He said, قَالَ فَقَدْ شَهِدَنَا, he has been present here actually. وَلَقَدْ شَهِدَنَا فِي أَسْكَرِنَا هَذَا, and not only your brother whose heart is with us, was actually present with us here. The meaning of was present means that whatever we have done, he is going, and what reward we have received, he is going to receive the reward as well. Whatever is written for us is written for him as well, because his heart is with us. So he said, yes, he was present here, and there will be, there is present with us. وَلَقَدْ شَهِدَنَا فِي أَسْكَرِنَا هَذَا, there are present with us أَقْوَامٌ فِي أَسْلَابِ الرِّجَالِ وَأَرْحَامِ النِّسَاءِ, people, groups of people who are still in the wombs of their mothers and loins of the fathers. سَيَرَى أَخُ بِهِمُ الزَّمَانِ, and the time is going to bring them out. وَيُقَوَّى بِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ, and iman and faith is going to be strengthened for their sake or by them. Now, the important theological concept mentioned here is that it doesn't matter whether you are present physically somewhere or not, whether you have seen the Prophet or not, whether you have been in the battle with the Prophet, in the battle of Badr or Uhud, or in the battle of Jamal or Siffin. It doesn't matter your physical whereabouts in terms of time and place. What is important, what matters is where your heart is placed. With the Prophet or with his enemies. With Amirul Mu'mineen or with his enemies. If it's with Amirul Mu'mineen, then it is as though you have been present. Now, of course, the implication for this is what? You like the Prophet, you like him to win in his wars. So this, what Amirul Mu'mineen says is that you have actually been present and witnessed the Battle of Uhud, Badr, Khandaq, Tabuk, all these occasions you have been present with the Prophet. And the meaning of that is that you are going to receive some rewards for it. Just because you like that Prophet, when you think about Battle of Badr, you wish that, yes, I really wish that Prophet would have won. And he won, of course, would have won, and he won. Just this wish, just this will coming out of your heart is going to give you some reward. Now, for this, we have many, many traditions, many verses of the Quran witnessing to this concept and this issue, that people are going to be rewarded for what is in their heart. Now, you can imagine, of course, if we put our imagination at work, we might come with very funny conclusions. However, it seems to be funny, but it's not funny. Now, I tell you, how many battles have taken place from the beginning of time? Say, the first battle or the first quarrel, say, was the quarrel or fight between Habil and Qabil. Whom did you wish to win in that battle or in that fight? Did you wish Qabil to win or Habil to win? Habil, isn't it? Because you are on the side of piety and taqwa. So, a reward is going to be written for you. And how many of such fights and bigger battles have taken place during the history? How many troops of prophets have fought against their enemies? And you would have liked that all of these, in all of these, victory would have been for the Prophet. And for all of them, a reward is going to be written for you. So what type of reward are you going to receive on the Day of Judgment? You cannot calculate this. It seems funny, but it's not. This is what Allah is going to give to a good heart. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. You go with a pure heart, with a healthy heart, then Allah will give you everything. So this is the meaning of it. Now, other ahadith that we have about this. إِنَّ الْمَرْعَ يُثَابُ عَلَىٰ قَدْرَ نِيَّتِهِ أَوْ عَلَىٰ قَدْرَ هَوَاهِ. In one other hadith we have. In one hadith we have that every person is going to be rewarded according to their intentions. Or in one other hadith we have according to what they wish. You wish good for evil people, you are going to be punished. You wish good for good people, you are going to be rewarded for it. Now, and this very famous hadith that I'm sure most of you have heard, niyatul innama al-a'malu bil niyat, actions of hinging on the niyyah which performed it. Now, there's one other hadith which those who explain and interpret a hadith have explained it differently. And that is niyatul mu'min khayrun min amalih. The intention of a mu'min is better than their actions. Wa niyatul kafir sharrun min amalih. And the intention of a kafir is worse, is more evil than what they do, their intention. Now, one very plausible explanation of this hadith would be that when you make an intention to do something good, for example, you intend to fast, a mustahab fast, and you do fast. However, this fast is mixed, is tarnished by some sins, gossiping, other things that you do. Your niyyah was not to do these things. Your niyyah was a pure fast. You intend to do a very pure salat with sincerity, with attention. However, in the middle, your attention is taken. Which one is better? The one you intended or the one that you performed? The one that you intended is better. So your niyyah, niyyatul mu'min, is always better than what he does. Because the niyyah is not mixed with these impediments of action. And the niyyah of a kafir is more evil than what they do. Because a kafir may intend some evil that he cannot realize exactly or in the same proportion as they had intended. And therefore the niyyah is always more evil than the outcome of that niyyah, which is the action. Now, a very interesting example again in Nahjul Balagha, Amirul Mu'mineen mentions, أيها الناس إنما يجمع الناس الرضا والسخط. Do you know what brings people close to each other? It is to be content or to be angry, to object. If you are content about, if you are pleased about the action of others, you are one of them. So this contentment, this pleasure that you have about their action would bring you close to them. And if you are upset and angry about the action of a group of people, then this will separate you from them. This is a very, very beautiful expression. It is ar-ridha was-sukh. The anger and contentment which would bring people together or make them distance from each other. Now, then Amir al-Mu'mineen mentions an example from the Qur'an. وَإِنَّمَا عَقَرَ نَاقَةَ ثَمُودَ رَجُلٌ وَاحِدٌ. You know, this Naqatul Thamud, of course, is a very famous story. When Thamud preached his message to the people, they said, we want a miracle. And he said, what miracle you want? They said that there was a very huge mountain close to the city. They said, bring out a camel out of these rocks for us. Means make a camel out of these rocks. And he said, if I do that, would you believe? They said, yes. And he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a red camel came out of those rocks, actually made of the rocks, and then it was given life and came as a camel. Now, of course, they made lots of conspiracies, and at the end they killed that camel, which was, of course, the camel of God, as Quran says, هَذِهِ نَاقَةُ اللَّهِ. This is not born by any other camel, and it's not owned by anyone. It has come out of these rocks. So this is Naqatullah. And they killed that miracle. Now, Amir al-Mu'min says, who killed that camel? Only one person killed it. إِنَّمَا أَغَرَ نَاقَةَ ثَمُودَ رَجُلٌ وَاحِدٌ. Only one person killed that camel. فَأَمَّهُمُ اللَّهُ بِالْعَذَابِ. However, everyone was punished for it in the Qawm Thamud. Why? لِمَا عَمُّوهُ بِالرَّضَى. Because everyone generally was happy because of what he did. They were happy of his action, so Allah punished all of them. So this being happy with an action or being upset with an action would make people to group and to be like each other. قَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ فَأَغَرُوهَا. And Allah says they killed it. Not that he killed it. Why they killed it? Because everyone was content, was happy with what the killer did. فَأَغَرُوهَا فَأَصْبَحُوا بِهَا نَادِمِينَ. This is what Allah said. Then they regretted what they did. Now another example that we have in the Quran is the example of Banu Israel. You hear You recite many verses in the Quran that the Prophet, for example, asked Banu Israel of his own time, why did you kill the prophets? Of course, no one at that time of our Prophet had killed any prophet, because there was no prophet between Isa alayhi salam and our prophet, so that these Jews would have killed them. However, because they were happy with what their father did, the Quran says that you killed the prophet. Now, look at this very beautiful hadith. An Abi Abdullah alayhi salam, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, قال لي, one of the companions, he went to the Imam al-Sadiq, and Imam told him, تنزل الكوفة, do you ever go to Kufa? I said, yes. قال, he said, do you see the killers, those who murdered Hussein in Kufa? Now this is at the time of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. And Imam says, do you see those who killed Hussein in Kufa amongst you? He said, I told to Imam, قُلْتُ جُعَلْتُ فِذَاكُ مَا بَقِيَ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدٍ, no one of those people are alive anymore. Everyone is dead. Everyone who were present in Karbala, everyone is dead. قَالَ فَإِذَا أَنْتَ لَا تَرَى الْقَاتِلِ إِلَّا مَنْ قَتَلَ أَوَّلَّ الْقَاتِلِ فَإِذًا أَنْتَ لَا تَرَى الْقَاتِلِ إِلَّا مَنْ قَتَلَ أَوَّلَّ الْقَاتِلِ. So you believe that the killer, the murderer, is only the person who really in action killed Hussein, who was actually the one who perpetrated the action. Do you think this is the case? Haven't you heard, أَلَمْ تَسْمَعْ إِلَىٰ قَوْلِ اللَّهِ, haven't you heard what Allah says? قُلْ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِي بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. This is an address from the Prophet to Banu Israel, that before me came messengers with clear signs, وَبِالَّذِي قُلْتُمْ, and with whatever you claim or you requested from them, فَلِمَا قَتَلْتُمُوهُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Why did you kill them? Because the Banu Israel at the time of the Prophet, one tribe of them, they came to the Prophet, they said, we do not believe in you because it is written in our book that we should not believe in any Prophet unless he brings a specific miracle for us. And that is, أَيَّعْتِيَنَا بِقُرْبَانٍ تَأْكُلُهُ النَّارِ, brings a sacrifice, puts it on the altar, and suddenly a fire comes and burns that sacrifice, for example. This is the miracle of the Prophet to which we believe. Now, the answer comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that قُلْ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِ, before me they came prophets with clear signs, وَبِالَّذِي قُلْتُمْ, and with the sign that you requested. There were some prophets who came to you, they had the sacrifice on the altar, taken by the fire. So why did you kill them? إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you are truthful, that you believe only in such prophets. Now, then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam asked the person which messenger they had killed before the Prophet, why there was not any messenger after Isa alayhi salam. Do you know why Allah mentions this? Because إِنَّمَا رَضُوا قَتْلَ أُولَٰئِكَ, because they were happy with what their fathers did. So just being happy with what some people do and being upset with some other people do would group you with them and would give you the same reward or punishment. And this is very amazing. If this is going to happen, then we have to be very careful about our hearts, about the things that make us happy and about the things that make us sad and upset. And of course there are many, many other riwayat and some verses about this. Now, one very interesting hadith about the same thing mentioned here in this sermon number 12 is what is reported by Saduq in Ilal al-Sharaya and in Uyun Akhbar al-Rida from Imam Rida alayhi salam. Uh, He says that إن الحجة المنتظر عليه السلام إذا خرج يقتل ذراري قتلة الحسين. When Imam al-Asr comes, he would kill the children of those people. Of course, when you say children, that's the grandchildren of those who killed Hussein Ali. Now, what's the sin of those children? Imam says, لَرَضَاهُمْ بِسَعَالِ آبَاهِمْ, because they are happy with what their fathers did. And then he said, وَمَنْ رَضِيَ شَيْئًا كَانَ كَمَنْ أَتَىٰ. If someone is happy with an action, is like the person who performed the action. If a person is killed in the East, وَلَوْ أَنَّ رَجُلًا قُتِلَ بِالْمَشْرِ فَرَضِيَ بِقَتْلِهِ رَجُلٌ بِالْمَغْرَبِ. If a person is killed in the East and another person in the West is happy, لَكَانَ الرَّاضِي شَرِيكُ الْقَاتِلِ, the one who is happy is a partner in that murder. And then Saduq says, maybe this is why we have in Ziyaratul Ashura, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ بَنِي أُمَيَّةَ قَاتِبَةً. Because this is always a question. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ بَنِي أُمَيَّةَ قَاتِبَةً means may God curse Banu Umayyah, all of them. Why not all of them did all these vicious actions? Now, Saduq says maybe it's because all of them were happy. And it was the case actually. All Banu Umayyah were happy of what happened to Hussein alayhi salam. And this is why it says لَعَنَ اللَّهُ بَنِي أُمَيَّةَ قَاتِبَةً. Another example that all of you have heard in member in Matam is the story of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. When he went to Ziyaratul Hussein in Arba'een, after the Ziyarah he did, the story of course you know, he says to Atiyah, his friend, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَ مُحَمَّدًا بِالْحَقِّ, I swear by the one who has given the mission to Muhammad, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَقَدْ شَارَكْنَاكُمْ, this is a part of his ziyarah, فِيمَا دَخَلْتُمْ فِي, we are partners of what you entered in, what you did, actually addressing to Hussein alayhi salam, that we are your partners. قَالَ أَتِيَّ, Atiyah says, I told to Jabir, وَكَيْفَ, how this is possible? You say, we are your partners, we are actually a part of what you did. وَلَمْ نَحْبِتْ وَادِيًا, we never traveled any plain of land, we never climbed the mountain in that trouble, we never struck a sword, وَلَمْ نَضْرِبْ سَيْفًا. So how do you say we were your partners? We were also sharik with you. He said, Ya Atiyah, Sami'tu Habibi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have heard my beloved Prophet, يقول من أحب قوما حشر معهم, whoever loves a people, he would be resurrected with those people. And this is what we have in many other hadith. If you love Ahlul Bayt, you will be resurrected with Ahlul Bayt. If you love the enemies of Ahlul Bayt, you will be resurrected with the enemies of Ahlul Bayt. مَنْ أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا خُشْرَ مَأَهُمْ وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَمَلَ قَوْمٍ أُشْرَكَ فِي أَمَلِهِمْ. And whoever loves and likes the action of a group of people, he will be a partner in that action. وَالَّذِي بَعَثَ مُحَمَّدًا بِالْحَقِّ, again he says, I swear by the one who gave the mission to the Prophet, peace be on him, إِنَّ نِيَّتِي وَنِيَّةَ أَصْحَابِي عَلَى مَا مَذَا عَلَيْهَا الْحُسَيْنِ, that my intention and intention of my friends all were with Hussein and with what Hussein did. And therefore we are partners here. We are in the same camp. The type of ceremonies that we hold for Hussein alayhi salam, or the type of ziyarat that we recite for Hussein alayhi salam. All of them say that we are happy with what you did, and we are distanced from what was done to you and from what your enemies did. Just to show this type of separation between us and their enemies and to show our closeness to them. And this is exactly what Amirul Mu'mineen said. If you're not in Karbala, if you were not in Karbala, if you're not there to help Hussein alayhi salam, look at your heart. Where is your heart? Is it with Hussein or with his enemies? If it is with Hussein, then of course you have the same, you are in the same camp. Don't worry about anything. Now, this is not only about this type of similarity in heart and in action. In fact, in many riwayat we have, now this is more interesting, because sometimes you intend to do a good thing, but you do not succeed. Now, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam says that even if you do not succeed in your intention, Allah is going to reward you for that intention. Well, this is very famous, all of us know. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ الْمُؤْمِنَ الْفَقِيرِ. A mu'min who is poor. Usually when we are poor, we would like to save the whole world, to help everyone, but we don't have money. When we get rich, then we don't have the intention to help people. Now, of course, this is not true for everyone, but a truthful person, a truthful poor person, he said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ الْمُؤْمِنَ الْفَقِيرِ. A poor mu'min, لَيَقُولُ يَا رَبِّ ارْزُقْنِي حَتَّى أَفْعَلَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Oh God, give me some money so that I can help my father. I can buy a house for my brother. I can set up a business for my relative, for example. Really, sincerely, he feels that he wants to do it. But he doesn't have money to do it. فَإِذَا عَلِمَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْهُ بِصِدْقِ نِيَّةٍ. If Allah knows that this is really what he intends to do, and if he had money, he would have done it. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مِنَ الْعَاجِرِ مِثْلَ مَا يَكْتُبُ لَهُ لَوْ عَمِلَ. He would write for him the same reward, exactly the same reward, as if he had money and he had done it. He had performed it. So, it is that intention which brings all these rewards. And sometimes we have money and actually we help, but we do it for riya, for example, to show off. Of course, we are not going to receive any reward. Inna Allah wasi'un kareem. Of course, Allah is generous. He gives just on intention. Even sometimes, someone comes to you and asks you something and you cannot help them. And your heart breaks because you cannot help them. The hadith says that from Imam Ali alayhi salam, Allah would give you the same reward as if you had helped them because of your broken heart. That, why I can't help this person, for example. So, what the khutbah here says, which, as I said, has lots of theological implications. The person came to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam after the victory of Jamal, and he said, I hope if my brother was present here to see your victory. And Imam says, Ahawa akhika ma'ana. Where is the heart of your brother? Is it with us? He said, yes. He said, he was present. And not only he was present here, in this army of us, in this battle of Jamal, there were present people who are still in the wombs of their mothers and loins of their fathers, and the time will bring them out, and they will help the faith, and they are as if they have been with us in this battle. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi. Yeah, anyone? Any question? Yes, please.
Before the love, the people who were in Kufa, they were respecting Allah, others that are being sent in punishment for going towards his life. For the fact that their servant has not got room. But being punished is something that has not done. However, at the beginning we said that if you do something good, it gets written. And if you do another, we said that over and over. If you do something bad, well, if you have, if you intend to do something bad, you didn't do it, you say you will never. These two things, it do not match with each other, of course. Nobody can understand the same stuff. So, we're saying that you're saying that the people in Cuba,
because they were happy with what?
Because they were happy. But they're supposed to love, respect, parents. Okay?
No, and love.
The fact is that, you see, you are only punished for the things that you do.
Yeah.
Not with intent. So we get. The same thing applies. If you go back to this, you mentioned about Babil and Babil. Now, who would you have to read this book? The camp of our parents, if you copy, he was the only one. We are all people.
God forbid. No, we are not all
called
offspring. No. No, of course, some people are offsprings of Qabil, but not everyone.
I think he was married before that.
No, because after Habil, I mean, who did succeed Adam alayhi salam? Certainly not Qabil. After Habil was killed, Allah gave another son to Adam alayhi salam, who is the Prophet Shaykh. And that Prophet Shaykh is actually the one from whom all prophets come. Prophets don't come from Qabil, certainly.
That's very good. Like, I didn't know that. I thought they only had two sons.
No, then Allah, of course, then afterwards Allah gave him more sons. But Shaykh was the one who was the wasi, the successor to Adam alayhi salam. And he is the one who has great respect, of course, after Adam alayhi salam. So many people are either from him or even from other sons of Adam alayhi salam, not necessarily from Qabil. Now, you see, love and respect for parents is one thing, to be happy with what they do. You might love your parents, but your parents might be, for example, alcoholic addicts. Do you love what they do? No, certainly you don't. You don't like it. You respect them, but you don't like it. Even the Quran says, despite you have to respect your parents, if they want to lead you astray, and if they want you to worship someone beside me, you should not follow them. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Do not obey. So, respect is something, of course, and then the very same verse says, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Of course, treat them nicely. Even if they say you have to be mushrik, but treat them nicely. However, who should you follow? وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. Follow the one who returns to me. So this is exactly the same thing. You respect your parents, that's fine, but you follow the one who returns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this thing about intention, certainly, those ahadith which say we are not punished for our intentions, is different from this bunch of ahadith. Those bunch of ahadith say, for example, you intend to do a sin, and then you regret. Before you can carry it out, due to your own regret or some impediments come, for example, something would bar you from doing it, you are not going to be punished for that intention. This is different. This is when an evil act is taking place and you are happy because of that evil. Then, in this way, people are grouped in two camps. Camp of Shaitan and camp of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, these set of ahadith are completely different from those ahadith which say you are not going to be punished for your intention. This is about rida and sukht. This is not intention. It's rida and sukht. Being happy or being angry about some action. Alaykum as-salam. Combining them?
Yeah.
In what sense?
Why do we combine
I thought you say combining the whole four together.
Okay.
Well, it's good to combine the all four with one wudu, because you take one wudu near the Maghrib, you do Zuhr and Asr, and then Maghrib and Isha. Some people like this. But combining Zuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha is something that Shia Fuqaha have issued fatwa accordingly, because they say the Prophet did combine the two salat without any situation which would have forced him to do. Usually, what our Sunni jurists say, the Sunni jurists say, is that even if when Prophet, although Prophet did combine Maghrib and Isha and Zuhr and Asr on some occasions, it was due to some difficult time, to some situation. For example, he was either traveling or there was war or something else. However, we have many ahadith that this did not happen only on those occasions. At many occasions, Prophet combined the two salat without any type of situation which would have forced him to do. So it means that it is jaz. It's not wajib, of course. It's not necessary. Even our fuqaha say it is better to separate, if you can, between Maghrib and Asha and Zuhr and Asr. But it is permissible to combine the two. Yeah.
Yeah. That means, Hani, that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, yeah, the fear and the terror will be so great that even the prophets will be, you know, crying for salvation, except the Messenger of Allah. Apparently, this is true.
Except
the final prophet, the Messenger of Allah. Is this virtually true? And secondly, if it is, then what about the Imam? What would their position be?
No, it's not true. It's completely against the Quran. Because there are many verses of the Quran that say people of virtue, awliya Allah, they're completely away from any terror. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَّ الْحُسْنَى أُولَٰئِكَ عَنْهَا مُبْعَدُونَ. They are far away from those terrorizing issues. لَا يَسْمَعُونَ حَسِيسَهَا وَهُمْ فِي مَشْتَهَتْ أَنفُسُهُمْ خَالِدُونَ. Or in other words, we have وَهُمْ مِنْ فَزَعٍ يَوْمَئِذٍ آمِنٌ. From they are safe from the terror of that day. So this is about awliya Allah, all prophets, imams, even people below the imams who are from awliya Allah, they are safe from that therapy.
Sheikh, we discussed that kafir's intention would be worse than election.
Yeah.
You know, the word kafir, does it mean that is a person who is not believing in God, or the word kafir means that the person who has a bad intention, whether irrespective of believer or he falls into them?
Yes, of course. I mean, here kafir and mu'min are mentioned as symbols of evil and good. Yeah, we have any person with evil intention, the intention would be worse than the action itself. And vice versa. Any people with a good intention, the intention would be better than the actual action which is performed. I mean, take the example of Prophet's battles. Or take the example of revolution in Iran, for example. The intention of Imam Khomeini, for example, was much better than what happened in reality, certainly. The intention of the Prophet going to Medina, setting up a state, was much better than what was realized in reality. And all the time people try to realize good things, but it doesn't come up. It doesn't come about as they intended. And there are always difficulties, impediments, barriers, and of course shayateen are coming in, as Allah says, we never sent a prophet. إِلَّا إِذَا تَمَنَّ أَلْقَ الشَّيْطَانُ فِي أُمْنِيَةٍ. They had an intention, they wanted to realize good, shaytan came and mixed in reality, not came to the prophet, came to the people. They didn't let what Prophet had wished to be realized in the purity of its intention.
About the intention of the kafir or somebody who's in battle, who's near over is more than his actual action. If I give you a small example, let's say a person is driving a car. And he is driving a car rashly. I mean, there is mischief in his mind to drive a car. However, it's not, his intention is not to kill him, but because of that mischief, he kills him. His action has outweighed his intention. Or like youth, they play around in what they think is a deserted warehouse, and they set fire to it. They do not know, maybe perhaps there's somebody inside. So their mischief was only to burn the warehouse, but they kill somebody.
These are the repercussions or consequences of that action which came out of that intention.
Yes, but the intention was less than what the actual result was. And this has happened in many instances. I'm quoting you everyday instances.
Certainly, what the hadith is saying is that when someone has an evil intention, especially a kafir, and when someone has a good intention, especially a mu'min, the realization of those intentions are not as bad or as good as the intentions. Now, sometimes our actions have repercussions, or they bring out other actions, they bring about other actions. Now, that's something separate, of course. Only the action which comes out of that one intention, the intention is always worse, according to this hadith. Now, then there are consequences, repercussions, and these things. Those are separate issues which should be dealt separately, certainly. Okay? No more questions? Okay, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad.